Welcome to the Computer Talk, October edition, 1990.
Hello, everybody. This is Julia.
And Frank Cosgrove.
Talking to you once again for the October edition of Computer Talk. Computer Talk being the quarterly magazine of the VDU group.
Well, very shortly we'll go over to the secretary's desk. He has a few words of wisdom for us all. Hope you all had a very enjoyable summer. We certainly did. We had a nice holiday in Scotland, and I also had a nice time at the Open University. Plus, my Open University exam is coming up, and I have a lot of hard work to do. So, over now to the secretary's desk.
Hello, and welcome once again to the secretary's desk on Computer Talk. I haven't got a lot of news for you this time, merely to reflect. I should apologise to Stuart Leith for telling everyone that he had a master 128 computer. He doesn't have a Master 128. He has a BBC Model B, but the point about his BBC B is that he's got one of these solid disk 2 meg 128K boards, the expansion board in it, and he has had a lot of trouble with it. Well, as I've told Stuart already, I've also had a lot of trouble with one. I had one at work in my Beeb, and really it was of no use at all. I could put ROMs in it, and they would be okay. But if I tried to load into sideways RAM, I just couldn't. It just didn't work. It was not compatible. It did all sorts of peculiar things, made all funny things come on the screen and on the printer, and oh, it was a hopeless thing. I sent it back thinking there was something wrong. They tested it and sent it back, and I sent it back again and they tested it and said, no, there's nothing wrong with it. And in the end, I declared it incompatible with my machine, which you can in fact do. They do acknowledge that there are problems with some machines. It seems to be to do with the timing, the microsecond timing that these, the sort of clock speeds and so on, there can be slight variations. And I declared it incompatible, sent it back, and was refunded, which was very good of them. It all took quite a long while. The whole procedure took over a year, I think, in the end. But there we are. All was well in the end. I also upgraded the Beeb to the Watford DFS, the DDFS. And I found with that, on the whole, it was fine. It was very good. But I did get a few more disk errors than I used to get, like sectors not found and peculiar things like that. That may just have been my old disk drive was getting a bit sort of old and worn, I don't know. But I never found it quite as satisfactory with the single density DFS. I don't know whether anyone else has had any of these problems. If so, let's hear about them, because you never know, it can help others. So I hope, as I've sent a message back to Stuart, I hope he'll have, sorted things out. I suppose the tempting thing is to upgrade to a master, really, when you're in that sort of position. I now have a PC at work, because all our hospital computers are going PC, and one wants a reasonable compatibility with one's workplace. So, I'm really now using the Beeb very little, but I'm still quite happy to, very happy to help with Beeb problems. We've still got a Beeb at home, so there's no trouble there. No changes of address this time, as far as I know. I haven't heard of any. So I won't bumble on for too long. I'll let you hear other articles about computers. But this is the last Computer Talk of 1990. Boy, hasn't it flown by. So I suppose I'd better, although it's a bit early yet, wish you a happy and blessed Christmas and a good new year. And I look forward to talking to you again come January 1991. So, bye-bye for now, and happy computing.
Well, there you are, everyone. That was Michael Cassidy's secretary's desk for you. And we have another article from him in a moment to do with teletext. Those of you who have been getting Computer Talk for a long time will know that from time to time we do get articles on Teletext of one type or another. First of all, we did have an article on BBC Teletext, and we found that we had to upgrade our DFS system so that the Teletext would actually work on it. We did get a Morley adapter after a little bit of searching, but they have gone up in price now, that is adapters generally, but it is very useful to see what is on Teletext from time to time. However, as I said in the July issue of Computer Talk, we have now thrown the magazine open to users of other machines, that is PC machines, PC compatibles, etc., which use Beech and Braille systems. So, here is Mike Cassidy to tell you more about his Teletext on the PC system.
Well, hello once again. This is Mike Cassidy, again, this time at his computer. It's the PC, so you'll hear the hard disk rumbling away in the background. I've got some sponge under the microphone, so I hope that you won't get too much of the buzz of the hard disk through. There will be some, I'm afraid, but that can't be avoided. It's very hard to work away from the computer, although the keyboard is on a cable. I suppose I might be able to twist myself round to the bed, but it would be rather difficult. And then, of course, I'd be a long way from the speech synthesizer, so you can't win. There'll have to be a bit of buzz. What I thought I'd talk about this time is the Teletext adapter I'm using with the Opus PC2. This one is made by Microprojects of Alsager, just outside Stoke-on-Trent. So it's a genuine British product, which is very nice. There are others. The other that I know of is the one made by GIS, BBC Enterprises. I did actually try one of these, but on my computer I couldn't get it to run, which is rather sad. I sent it back to them and they altered it or modified it, and then it worked a little better, but it still wasn't very satisfactory. Fortunately, I'd borrowed it from the Polytechnic of Central London, so I sent it back to them, and they have actually got it running on the machine up there, so it will work, but not as well as this one from Microprojects. I've had no trouble with this one at all. It runs beautifully. What it consists of is a card, which is really just a printed circuit board with a whole load of chips and capacitors, resistors, and all other components on it, which you plug into a socket inside the PC. So it doesn't have any external power supply. All it has on it, socket-wise, is a little coax aerial socket on the back of it, in which, of course, you plug your TV aerial. And it sits inside the computer, and then they also supply a disk of software and a manual with it. The manual isn't on disk, but it has been read on to tape by Express Reading Service. I haven't come across it in the library yet, but I'm sure it'll get there. If anyone is interested, they can always send me a tape and I can copy it for them. All you have to do is write a line into the computer, which I will do in a moment. So PC text II, PC text 2, we hit the return. You wait for a moment while it sets up the Teletext screen, and now we are away. And what we have to do is look at the screen. I'll slow down the speech a bit. So we're looking at the main menu. So if you hit P, it'll take you into the Teletext pages. That's for configuration. We probably won't really look at that. There's no need to at this time.
Teletext title pages.
That was a question mark for Teletext help pages.
Q quit to system.
Q quit back to the operating system. So that's your main menu.
Exit.
So what we'll do, we'll hit P for pages.
E.
And wait. And it'll now look for the index page for BBC
One. 100, CFAX 100, Sun 9Z2033/47.
Right, that's that. Now what I'm going to select is page 102 for the Newswatch. We just wait now.
102.
That's the page being entered. Now we just wait for the page to appear, and then we'll read the page.
P10 CFAX 102 Sun 9Z2034/18.
Now I'll just read that page.
Read. 2P10 CFAX 102 Sun 9Z2034/22.
No, sorry, I read the.
Read.
Here we go.
1 Index 103 Superpowers Present United Front. 104 No Military Discussion at Summit. 105 Humanitarian Food Exports Agreed. 106 Up Women and Children Fly It Home. 107 Antique Saddam Plotters Executed. 108 Aziz Meets Iranian Foreign Minister. 130 Full Details of the Gulf Crisis. 109 Men Sheep Exports to France Size MP. 110 S African Faction Fighting Bills 30. 111 British Communist Party too close. 112 Libyan President Doe Captured. 113 No Campaign to Oust Forces. 114 Cambodian Groups Back on Peace Plan. 115 Poll Tax Protest. 116 In Brief. 117 Week Ahead at Home. 118 Week Abroad. 160 Politics. 180 World News.
So that gives you the full Newswatch page for the headlines. There is another option on this. I won't go through any more of the pages. I mean, you know all about those. You've heard them before. Many of you are familiar with the teletext. But there is one option. If I hit the letter F, and I'll just wait for a moment. Yes, now what it says there gives you various options for saving your page. Now you can save it as a page, a normal teletext page. Or you can save it as an ASCII file, which you can then bring into a word processor. So let's try this. We'll save as an ASCII file. I hit the letter A.
Write file name for save greater than.
Now, we'll call it, I'll put it onto my disk drive A.
Write: MEWS.PPX.
And off it goes. Yeah, that was my fault. I forgot to close my drive door. When I switched on the machine, I leave the drive door open because otherwise it does all sorts of funny things and won't boot up properly. Now, it's now saved that file, that page, to disk as an ASCII file. So I can then read it into a word processor, I could print it out, I could emboss it in Braille, anything you like. As I say, you can also save it as a teletext page and call it back later. And really, on the whole, the teletext terminal is very much similar to that on the BBC. I mean, to the extent that they've set it so that if you hit... Well, let's just put it, it's read the bottom line of the page for me. If I hit F8, I think we'll save.
Enter subpage mode.
Oh no, so the subpages. You can enter the subpages. We don't want to do that, so we'll clear that. You do have to wait a little time.
P102 CFAX 102 Sun 9Z2038/25 P102 CFAX 102 Sun 9SPT 2038/37.
shut it up. I think F7 is the one for holding the page, if I remember rightly. Let's see what happens this time. I don't use these very often, so it may say something, it may not. So it has similarities to the BBC terminal. That is the main point. Now, one of the advantages of this system over the BBC system is that you can actually use another program and you can save a whole series of ASCII pages to disk and then read them back, which is very useful. For instance, all summer I've been using it for picking up all the cricket scores for each day. I just run this. You can write a program which will, when you set it going, save all the cricket pages to disk, and then you can just read them back in a word processor. So what we'll do, we'll get out of the teletext, hit escape.
Micro projects teletext adapter PC text AV209.
That takes us back to the main menu. We hit Q.
UC backslash PT greater than.
Alright. Now, I'll demonstrate a file that has already been written. I'm going to use a thing called iType.
I-T-Y-P-E.
But before I do, I'm going to load in another HAL environment file.
Load or save. Load ROM. Backslash. E-R-V-H-I-L. Backslash. S-T-I-R-T-H-I-L.
That's loaded that in.
Slow
it down again.
4 slower, 3 slower.
Now, I'll let you have a look at one of the pages of my cricket thing.
S-P-3-2-background-exit-I-colon-C-R-I-C-K-E-T-period-T-P-X. C-Flex-3-4-2-Sat-1-1-0-0-4-4-5-0-2-1-3-England-3-India-England-1-Nest-Invings-Nooch-C-Mort-Me-Brad-Nico-1-1-6-Arthur-Tum-C-Mort-Me-Erwin-1-3-1-Power-C-Kendall-Kirby-Kaitil-Dev-3-8-Lamb-C-Mandraker-Me-Kondal-3-8-Russell-C-Mort-Me-Erwin-8-Smith. Not out 1-2-1 Morris Me Campbell 1-3 Lewis Me Erwin 3 Hemmings LBW Me Erwin 1-9 Fraser C Kendall Kirby Campbell 1 Express 1-8 Total All Out 5-1-9 Press IP.
That is how it works. You get the odd letter missed out, and it puts a bar or a grab accent or something instead. But on the whole, it does convert to an ASCII file very well. So we'll clear that away. Now I can show you how the file is written to drive that sort of program. Let us just and the file extension this time is SEQ. Now you listen to this. It won't actually. What I'll do, I will
reading.
We'll have a look at the file thing. Now it has. You can use all abbreviations in this, right? It's rather, very similar to the WordWise Plus programming language, actually. The first line is D, which means delete, and what that does, it deletes the previously. The previous file that has been output to disk. So I mean, that if I was to run this program now, it would delete that previous cricket.ttx file. So it saves you mucking around deleting your file each time.
Aeon.
Now Aeon means that it will send the file as an ASCII file to disk.
Key one
means it's set for channel 1, i.e. BBC 1.
P341
that sets it to pick up page 341.
H5
means that it won't look for a subpage number higher than page 5. Normally, if you didn't set that in, it would search until page 255. So it would be sitting there for a rather long time. So you just put limitations on. Now, the O there is output a:cricket.ttx, and that is the thing to send it to output the file to disk.
G.
The next line, G, is go.
E342.
And then you see you can carry on, it'll go right through a series of pages. Now, you can actually set for different channels as well. If I leave this one,
I've
got a file called weather. T15, that's an extra line. That says that if the thing is running for more than 15 minutes, it'll time out and switch out and cut out the program and abort it. So if anything goes wrong, for instance, CFAX may have switched off or something odd like that, or your aerial isn't connected or something, it will time out and switch off and abort the program.
Mm.
Delete again. ASCII
on.
Key 1.
T582.
And then we're looking for different pages. Let's see, just go down the screen a bit.
T209.
Ah, yeah, there we are. Now, I've taken a couple of pages from BBC One.
G.
That's G, the last go.
K3.
Now, K3 means I've changed to channel 3.
T209.
And then page 209 gives the Anglian weather. Now, S is another word which means single. What that means is that it only looks for one page. It won't sort of start looking for sub-pages, so it'll just take a single page, which is the S. And I know that P209 is always a single page. Now, if I'd left the S out, it would have sat around waiting and waiting and waiting, looking through all the sub-pages to find the single page, so the S stops it doing that. And so it goes on. Now, what...
Exit.
So you see, what you can do is you can gather a whole load of pages from different channels, and it keeps adding them to an ASCII file. So in the end, you will have quite a long ASCII file. For instance, if we now look at the size of the last cricket file, I didn't even see, it's quite a long time ago. Let's just look.
SSA:CRICKET.TTX. FS file size advanced edition 450.
This is the name of the program.
Proper 1987 8 8 Peter Morton 8 Mad/Cricket PTX 21168 bytes 21504 bytes disk space occupied 1% drive you Cricket PTX 21504 bytes disk space occupied 1% slack. Cricket PTX 21168 bytes.
So you can see that the cricket is 21k long, or 21,168 bytes to be precise. And so it's quite a long file, and the weather one will be quite long because I gather up a few things from that. I take up the weather forecast for the next day, plus the temperatures, UK temperatures, coastal resorts, and all the European and world temperatures, and then the Anglian weather from ITV. So you see, you can write files for different things that you want to look at, and you can make your own radio times, really, if you wanted to, your CFAX radio times, by gathering up all the TV pages or the radio pages. You could do it for the pop charts if you wanted to, for the recipes, for the words of faith, all sorts of things. For the news, I've got another one for all the news stories of the day. Newsreel, you can run one for that as well. Start one off. I can abort it at any time, because they do take a bit of time. Let's try the cricket one, just for interest. There probably won't be much on it. Let's see what happens. Now, there's a program called SEQ, so we'll use that.
SEQ.
Now, you use what's known as a command line option on this one to select what you want the program to do. I put a dash I, and it's, so that's going to input the file.
Okay.
I think what we'll do, I won't choose the cricket one.
Next space, C.
We'll use the news one.
MEWS.
Now we hit return.
Mortar loaded.
I just wrote
load. Sequence 0505 micro program 70 C1999. Please wait for text mode to be set up. Sequence 0505 status. Add comment file output file system channel file long material checking. Time out. Mute stimulus. Mute type. Subject. Next. Subject. CRC check. Subject report. Greeting comment file. Mute check. Ask 62. Kilotext. Test. S12 file. X12 was the sequence. Collecting pages. Mute check. Mute TPX. Ask 62. Edit. No. 11151 0 reassembl. C6 10 to 10 9 0 5 to slash 4 9 C6 10 0 to 10 0 5 to slash.
That unfortunately loaded another Hallin environment file, so we're burbling away rather quickly. Let's see if we can Yes, we've now succeeded in loading the HAL. Now, it won't chunter away at me now. I've set it up so that it doesn't burble away at me. But it is now downloading all the news pages to disk. Now what I can do, I can check at any point what's happening. So if you listen.
3, 7, page 104, subject, SNPL, next, subject, CRC check.
Now a lot of these are single pages, and that just gives me a check on the status. I can also find out.
Status, collecting pages, add, CFX 168, sun 97, 2054/16.
I think what I'll do, I'll abort that so we won't just sit around waiting for it to sort of finish. Yes, it's now stopped the file. And I can hit escape again. So what it did, it loads in this program called the sequence page grabber. It then runs through one of those programs that we looked at just now, reads the program, and then executes the program and delivers all your pages to disk, which you can then read at your own leisure. So what it saves you mucking around with the teletext terminal trying to read pages all the time. You can read them at your leisure, nice and slowly, and whenever you want to. And if you have a great desire to print things out or braille things out, you can do so. So I think that in summary gives you some idea of what the PC teletext does. The working with speech, it works pretty well. You do get a few little delays, as you found out, and a few little quirks, but on the whole, they're very manageable, and I think it's the best we're going to get. Now, I haven't tried this with the Arctic Vision speech. I would imagine it would work pretty well with it. This is using HAL and the Apollo. So, if anyone has any problems, please let me know. I don't think that many will be actually buying the system, as you're probably mostly using the BBC still. But I thought it would be of interest just to hear how the PC side of things works. Alrighty, enjoy your computing, and I'll try and find something to put on for the January issue. Take care, and good computing. Bye for now.
And bye, of course, to Michael Cassidy for this time around, and look forward to hearing from you again next quarter. However, some of you will notice that this tape is a little late this time. I'd like to try and get it out for around about the first of the month. It is the 1st of October today, but unfortunately I have had a dearth of contributions this time, as a lot of people are in the throes of changing over from BBC to PC. But as I reiterate once again, we are including other machines now, so any of you who do have contributions, we would be pleased to hear from you. However, another reason for the slight delay in this tape is that Albert Yeo, one of our long-time contributors, has, at very short notice, very kindly done a little contribution for us. So over now to Albert Yeo in Staffordshire.
Those of us who use IBM know that most programming languages that we come across work when you're writing programs. You do so in an edit screen, that is to say, the screen in which you write the program is an editor, virtually like a word processor. So when you're writing the programs, you have all the facilities of word processing at your fingertips, so that you can delete and insert and do searches and so on, and selective search and search and replace, and all the useful features that a word processor has. So we get used to writing in the programs in this form, and then normally you would run them to see how they worked, and it's quite a good way of doing it. Several people recently have mentioned to me that when it's cropped up in discussion, they were not aware that you can do the same thing on the BBC with your programming language, which of course in most cases on the BEEB would be BBC Basic. In fact, you can, and for the benefit of those who didn't realise that you could do this, I thought I'd just give a brief description of how you go about it. It doesn't much matter what word processor you use, but you start by making sure you're in the text entry mode, and you type auto, that's A-U-T-O, and press return. So that goes on the top line of the screen. You then start to enter your program line by line as you normally would write a program in BASIC. Don't put any line numbers, because you've told it to automatically number the lines, which it will do. When you've finished writing your program, you then save it as you would any other document that you've written in the word processor. You use the appropriate command to save it to disk, or tape for that matter. Then you go back to BASIC. You come out of the word processor and go back into BASIC, and you type star exec or star E full stop, and then the name of the program under which you'd saved it, without quotes, and that loads it into the computer, in that star execs it. Then press escape, and then save it as you would a BASIC program, that is to say, save, or S full stop, quotes, program name, quotes. So that then saves it as a BASIC program, and you can then use it in the normal way. You can chain it or run it, load and run it, or whatever you want to do with it, or list it, because it's now been saved in BASIC form. So that means you've written it in a word processor with all the useful facilities that that word processor has. Go back to BASIC, start exec it, press escape, and then save it as a normal BASIC program. It comes up, if you list it, then you'll find it's got line numbers and all the rest. So that makes things quite a bit easier if you're doing a complicated program, using facilities in programming facilities perhaps that you're not normally in the habit of using, and you're wondering if you should have put brackets or whether you shouldn't or whatever. And then if you want to go back and alter it or do anything to it, you can go back into the word processor by, when you're in BASIC, you load the program with the load command, as if you were going to load and run it, but instead of running it, you type star spool, that's S-P-O-O-L, the program name, without quotes, and the disk will run and set up that file, and then you type list, you type the list command, and the program will be listed. And then when it's finished listing, you type star spool again without a program name, and the program will have been saved as an ASCII file. So you can now enter the word processor and type read, the read command, not the load command, followed by the program name, and it will be loaded back into your word processor, and you can edit it, alter it, or whatever, and then do the process that we started with again. Leave the word processor, go back into BASIC, do star exec program name, return, escape, and then do the normal BASIC save command with the name in quotes, and you're back with a BASIC program that you can load or run a list and all the rest of it. So by doing it that way, it does take a bit longer, but it does give you the chance to write it as a word processing document with all the editing facilities that a word processor offers, which can be very handy at times. But we just mentioned that for the benefit of those who didn't realise that, in fact, you can write your BASIC programs in word processor form on the Beeb. If you're doing complicated programs, it can be very handy. It also saves you worrying about line numbers, because I find that using the auto command in BASIC is fine, because you don't have to remember what line numbers you've reached until you want to do a go-to. But if you then want to do a go-to to send it to a particular line, you've got to end the auto process and investigate the program, list it so far, to find what number it was that you wanted to eventually send the program to. That's all right if you've planned all the program in advance, but sometimes you don't. In some complicated programs, you do some working out as you go along. There we are. I hope that's been of use to somebody. I'll look forward to hearing from you if you have any queries. Recently, somebody phoned me with a problem, and fortunately I happened to know the answer, so I'll pass that on. He had found that, as you know, when you switch the Beeb on, the computer does a quick check of the system and all the ROMs and things that are plugged in. If they're okay, you get the second tone, which means that the computer is set and you can go ahead. Well, this chap had found that over a period of a few months, the time lapse between the actual operation of the power on switch and the first of the two tones that you get was getting longer and longer, and it had got so long now that when he switched on and nothing seemed to happen, he began to wonder if it was going to work, and then just as he was getting worried, it would you'd get the tone. And the answer there was that the more ROMs or extensions or cartridges or what have you that you've got plugged into your computer, the longer it takes to do the system check at the beginning. His problem was that some of the connections, the pin connections, in one or two of the ROMs that he got plugged in were not as clean as they might be, and over a period they begin to corrode a bit and they go high resistance, which means that it takes longer for the system to check them, and eventually the system would check and find in effect that there was no connection and it would not work. So I was able to recommend him to take out each of the cartridge and ROMs that he'd got plugged in and clean the pins and carefully put them back, and lo and behold, as soon as he switched on, he got his tone and the computer was ready for use. So that cleared his problem up, but I'll pass that on just for the benefit of anybody who might have been having the same sort of trouble and thought it was something going wrong with the hardware. It isn't that. It's just the, it depends on the quality of the metal of which the pins are made on the plugins, and it's quite a good plan, as soon as this problem begins to manifest itself, to go routinely through all your plugins, take them out, clean the pins, and put them carefully back in, and it should clear up that problem.
Well, thank you, Albert, for sending that article so quickly for the tape this time round. And it's always useful to have one or two little tips as well. However simple they may seem to be, it might be a boon to someone else. So if anyone else has little tips and bits and pieces for us, do let us know, send us a tape or something, and we can include them on future magazines. Well, here is Frank now to have a word with you.
Yes, I have a question for you all and a comment or two. For people who are using Jotter as a word processor, I would be interested to know who has one, if they would contact me and pass comments to me about the machine. I found it quite useful. One or two bugs in the program, in the machine itself, and I've rang the person who makes it up in Hereford, and they've been doubtful and unsure and said, well, no, I think. Anyway, we'll check it, and they have. And they've said, oh, yes, there are bugs in the program, we'll correct it. And I've sent the machine back and had updates. So if anyone's got a machine that isn't updated, perhaps they could consider, if they're happy with it, keep it. If they wish, send it back for updates, because there are a few. For example, word search, if you are looking for a particular word, it will go to that word. Phone numbers, I believe, it will also find, if you have, say, the name of the firm, Big Pathway, and their phone number straight after, it will find it for you. Plus, if you want to know how many words are in a document, which is very useful for me, for the Open University, they say, write an essay on oil, please, 3,000 words. If it's any more, you're penalised. It can be less, but certainly if it's more, you're penalised. So, checking this thing off with the word count, it worked quite nicely. It tells me how many pages in print, how many pages in Braille, and it's quite accurate. I've noticed one or two little points where it isn't quite accurate on the line counts per Braille page and things of this nature, but it'll get righted. For anyone who's had anything to do with it or got the machine, I would be keen to know and to compare notes and to talk to them. So that's all from me. I hope you've enjoyed Albert and his little piece. We do need more people to send in, please. Anybody with information about anything that works with the BBC, to do with the BBC or the Master or anything, any Archimedes programmes, the details, who's got an Archimedes. I haven't. I've played briefly with one, but I don't know its full potential, really. So anyone can tell me anything about that, or any details, any machines, the Braille and Speak. Have you loaded down stuff into the Beeb with it, and how does it work? Does it do okay? What else? Braille and Speak. I have actually had a little play with one of those. I find you can't write very fast on them. Can you? Can you write really fast? And any comments that anyone wants to tell us, we'll be interested and we'll consider putting it on the magazine. So, from me, it's bye for the moment.
Yes, and bye to Frank for the moment, and you will have our address and phone number at the end of the tape. One, two little bits and pieces to tell you before we get to the end of side one. Earlier on in the tape, Mike Cassidy was telling us about the Teletext system on PCs. Well, it's now accessible to Eureka users so that they can have a go at it. Of course, it does state that you need an outdoor antenna even in good quality reception areas. We think of ourselves in a good reception area, but we do find that we need an outdoor antenna. And what we did was split the antenna we already had so that we can use both the television downstairs and the teletext up here on it. It has specially written software for the Eureka, and the thing plugs into the Eureka's communication socket. And of course the software misses out all the graphics which you can get. Of course you need a TV license for these things, but application has gone to the Home Office regarding the Eureka version's licensing requirements. There is a card, of course, which in depth for PCs has prices here. Prices for Eureka RS232 version is £295, excluding VAT, and for PC version it's £195, excluding VAT. And it's available from Technovision Systems Limited, 4 Hazelwood Road, Northampton, NN1 1LN, telephone number 0604 239 363. You can also get a digital multimeter for the Eureka, and if anyone has an article about this, we should be happy to include it on any future magazine. Some while ago, one of our members did ask us for a copy of Starfex Commands for the BBC, which I have. I was going to get it thermoformed, but unfortunately we have lost one or two things in the thermoforming process, so I haven't got round to it. I think there's only one member who was asking for this, and so if they would like that particular copy, we have it for you. However, of course, the Starfex commands and drivers, etc., for the BBC B are rather different from the master. This is actually, of course, for the BBC Model B, as we did have that at the time. Now, but since then, we have, of course, changed to the master 128. Wonder if anyone now uses the BBC A3000 computer, which they seem to be talking quite a lot about on the micro user. The micro user is still going, by the way. If anyone gets any tapes on computers, either for BBC or PC, perhaps they would like to send us an article on this and tell us about it, because of course not everyone knows what computer magazine you are in fact receiving. However, we are coming to the end of side one, so with the strains of Golden Brown, let us get ready to turn over onto side two.